Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to Ask OTC, the show where we answer all of your questions from the week in European football. I'm Dotton Adebayo.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Lars Sivertsen.
Nick has emailed us. My question is a follow-up to the Dortmund discussion and their recent failures with signings, planning and development, but looking through a particular player, Gio Reyna, who came into the first team there. He looked like a potential future superstar. I know Reyna had a long injury nightmare, but then he looked like the best substitute in Europe last season, once healthy, but this season he's barely got a minute, which seems very odd considering the previous season and Dortmund's struggles. Now the player can't even scrape minutes at Nottingham Forest. Is this just the player having mentality or fitness issues, or does this provide a singular window into the larger problems at Dortmund, Andy?
Well, I think when we're talking about Dortmund making errors with planning and signings, they've still, in that period, managed to develop young players quite well. I think you look at the value they've added onto, I suppose, the most obvious being Haaland and Jude Bellingham. I think there will be others to follow. It's more the players that they sign in their mid-20s who or older than that who don't really seem to fit. I mean, Rami Bentamayini, for example, has really struggled to get into the team as the season has gone on. I think one of the younger ones, Felix Metscher, is a different case because he has had a serious injury that's kept him out for a long time, though we will look at his progress. I think Reyna is a particular case. As Nick says, I think the injuries are a huge part of it. And I think when it comes to giving him opportunities to start, his fitness has really stopped him from being able to do that. So he was almost sort of forced into that super sub role. You know, we know the ability is there, but at some point he has to start playing more. And that has not really been the area of the team in which they've most been lacking. I think if you look at the chronology, you would have expected him to play more minutes in place of Marco Reus. But Marco Reus has stayed influential over the last season. And I think that has maybe been an issue for him getting in. Daniel Malen has really improved in the last season and a half as well. Obviously, at some point, they need to get some bang out of Karim Adeyemi as well. These are all players who are competition. Now, I just think that area is so stacked that if you're not presenting, Lars, an irresistible case to get picked, then how can you?
No, pretty much. And I think Nick mentions it in his email. I think this move to Nottingham Forest was a terrible idea. I was speaking before it happened. I was speaking about Gio Reyna to someone who's worked in recruitment at a very high level in European football, and we were kind of thinking he needs a change of environment from Dortmund, but he should head further south on the continent, because if he's a guy, he's a technical player, he's had issues with his body. Going on loan to a Premier League club that has no long-term stake in his development seems like an awful idea, because he needs to rebuild himself. He needs to regain his confidence. He needs to play regular minutes somewhere. He needs to go to a club that has a real stake in his development. And of course, Nottingham Forest don't. He's on loan. Nottingham Forest need players who can help them not get relegated. And if he isn't doing the business right then, there's no incentive for Nottingham Forest to give him minutes to figure his stuff out. Nottingham Forest don't have time to do that. And also, like, they're a team that doesn't have a lot of possession, and he's a technical player who's used to seeing a lot of the ball. So he's just not going to have a good time there. I, for some reason, maybe that's just because Pulisic went there and has improved his fortunes a little bit. I keep having like mental images of Gio Reyna in a Milan shirt. I don't know why. Maybe that could be the future. But a move to I don't think a move to England suits him at all. I think a slightly more a less physically intense league is probably better for him to rebuild himself physically and rebuild his confidence and rebuild himself as a player. But right now, it's not looking great.
For what it's worth, Dortmund do still have a stake in that development. They extended his contract before they loaned him out. So they're not completely out on him.
And this from Alan. What leagues are worth watching now that the winners in the five biggest leagues are almost guaranteed? Lars.
So I think the Danish league, I mean, this is quite niche. I accept that this is quite niche, but I think the Danish league could be exciting this half, the second half of the Danish league. Of course, they follow the sort of autumn spring calendar, but they have a very long winter break because they're in the Nordic country, and then they split into like a championship playoff group type of thing. But if you look at the top of it, FC Copenhagen are actually third, 2 points behind Brøndby in second, who are 1 point behind Midtjylland in the top. So, and then you have sort of the young guns of Nordsjælland slightly behind there again. So I think the run-in in the second half of the Danish season could be very, very exciting. And it's quite a lot of sort of interesting young talent in that league who you will see on a bigger stage in the future. That would be my sort of rogue Nordic shout. I'm sure Brassel has a more intriguing answer, perhaps the titanic tussle on the top of the Turkish Super League. Or, Brassel, are we going to Portugal? Please enlighten us.
Well, it's going to be one of the two, isn't it? it's got to be Turkey for me. I think this is a record-breaking season in terms of the pace being set by Galatasaray and Fenerbahce. And Fenerbahce, who have won the league a lot less in the last 15 years than you think. You know, a team that's hugely followed, not just in Turkey, but all over the world, and are really all in battling for the title this season under a good coach in Ismail Kartal. And then you've got Okan Buruk and the brilliant work he's doing at Galatasaray. You know, they've got themselves through injury crises without losing too many points. And just to read you where we are at the time of recording, played 28 matches each, right? Galatasaray, 75 points. Ooh. Already. Ooh. 73 for Fenerbahce. So I think whichever of these teams loses out is going to think, how the bloody hell did we not win the league this season? Because whoever doesn't win the league will have a record that would have won the league in any normal season. They're both great to watch. They both chase the game until the absolute end. And I think it's going to be really fascinating. Also, you'll find that the Galatasaray, the first game was, the first intercontinental derby of the season was quite a damp squib. The return, Galatasaray-Fenerbahce at Galatasaray at the Rams Park, that is going to be second, third last game of the season. Huge. Huge.
Okay, this one from Captain Cabinet on Instagram. Bellingham and Kane aside, who are the best English players on the continent at the moment?
So I'm inclined to go for Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who's having a good season for AC Milan, and just also because I've always liked him as a player, and he's for so long was a player who could never quite be a regular at Chelsea, but was always good enough that Chelsea kind of didn't want to give up on him. And of course, injuries played a huge part in hampering his development. But when he's fit and in full flow, I find him a very pleasant player to watch. He has got a lovely sort of stride with the ball. And this is what we've been seeing for Milan this season. He makes a lot of these sort of long driving runs forward with the ball. Really excels in, I guess the statistical term is what progressive carries or something is what they call him, basically running with the ball, and he's someone who brings the ball up the field for them and it gets a few goals, and it's just, he's a joy to watch.
I wanted to ask you actually, Lars, a few of those points that you touched on about Ruben Loftus-Cheek there are quite reminiscent of what you were saying about Gio Reyna in terms of playing time, in terms of stepping out of quite a chaotic sort of rhythm of football. Do you think that is what really suits Loftus-Cheek? Do you think he's found a place where he can really develop? I mean, people don't talk about players who are deep into their 20s developing, but it is still important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially for someone who's had a career like him.
I think it's always just the injuries, the combination of injuries and Chelsea being a very difficult team to stake a place in. But if you go back and think of like the season he played at Crystal Palace or the season he played at Fulham, I thought when he was playing regularly in a team that really trusted him and he was able to keep feet, he looked like a pretty majestic midfielder, and I liked him quite a lot. And we're seeing some of that with Milan now. I guess maybe the answer is go to Milan if you're one of these players who's sort of on the fringes of these very elite teams, can't quite get a regular run in it. Maybe go to Milan. Maybe that is the solution.
I think that's a really interesting point, because if you look at some of the English players or players from the Premier League that have rehabilitated themselves in Serie A, so obviously we're talking about Tammy Abraham, Chris Smalling, Smaldini of
Smaldini.
and that's what they call him over there. And
it's amazing.
Because we've said players coming from the Premier League, you say Romelu Lukaku as well, can't we?
Mm.
Because that is his happy place. I mean, if it turns out that at the end of the season, as seems likely, Roma are not able to keep him for financial reasons, then I guess he does end up going off to Saudi. That will make me quite sad. I love seeing Lukaku and good Lukaku in Serie A. I don't feel this season we've had A plus Lukaku, but we've had pretty good Lukaku for a big patch of the season. Not vintage under Conte into Lukaku, but still, you can't have that all the time. I'm really interested to see as well what sort of fettle Tammy Abraham is when he comes back, because he should be back for at least some of Roma's running. So that'll be really interesting. The player I wanted to go for, Don, in terms of the best English players in the continent, I'm going back to Portugal. I didn't go for Portugal in the last question, I'm going to go to Portugal in this question. It's got to be Marcus Edwards, who, because Sporting are so good, he's not always been first pick over the last couple of weeks, but he's been battling for space with Trincao often, as Trincao had that, you know, kind of an okay spell at Wolves, has been back showing the sort of form that he initially showed at Braga, which made Barcelona buy him in the first place. But Edwards will continue to be important for them. He is a player who, you know, when you can see a player who has got to a pretty good level, but you think that step to a big club will be what makes him. That was exactly that when Edwards went from Vitória Guimarães to Sporting. And Ruben Amorim has looked after him brilliantly. I mean, Amorim's a fantastic coach. But I think the way that he didn't throw Edwards straight in the first team, he played him off the bench initially, and he made him properly earn his place in the team. Now, he's sort of, I guess if we talk about early Messi, and I don't want to do the comparison, obviously, because it's really unfair. But look, I am doing the comparison. I've started it, so I'm all in now. I think the fact that he, you could see him playing in a more central position, Edwards. And when he played at centre forward last season, despite being like quite short, he was brilliant. You know, he didn't let himself be kicked around. He's technical enough to get away from bigger defenders. I think the position that he's in that makes you think of Messi, even though you don't want to, when you see Marcus Edwards, and obviously there's a gap, et cetera, all the caveats, is the fact that he's on that right side cutting in and that he starts from a pretty deep position because he's got what so few players have. He doesn't just have like a magnetic relationship with the ball, but it's, and everyone remembers that goal that Hugo Lloris like really unfairly stopped him scoring against Spurs in the Champions League, which would have been Messi-esque when we go back to last season. It's the change of pace. That's what it is with Edwards. So he's dangerous, of course, when he gets the ball around the box. He's almost more dangerous when he picks it up wide on the right, 40 yards from goal. So you're like, oh, we know what's coming. We know what's coming. And I think as time goes by, he's got better at letting the ball go at the right time, like realizing he's not Messi, actually. So he can have these moments where he can score sensational goals on his own. He's done it on a number of occasions this season. But he also knows the right time to let go of the ball. And he's got good players around him that he trusts. Of course, they've got Victor Gyökeres, who's come in and done brilliantly this season as well. There's so much ability in that Sporting team. And he doesn't just look a great player. He looks a very well-coached player. I would love to see him in the Premier League. Obviously, Tottenham still half own the economic... Well, actually, now because of the Pedro Porro deal, earn 30% of the economic rights to him. So it will be really interesting to see if Spurs decide to get themselves a little hometown discount on him at some point. People keep talking about it. I would love to see how what he does applies to the Premier League. But I know people always say this about players coming from Portugal to England. He'll have to stay on his feet a bit more.
I thought you wanted to pick up on that, Lars.
No, I just went, No, I just did the idea of Marcus Edwards playing under Ange Postecoglou just got my sort of football juices flowing a little bit, I have to say.
But no Fikayo Tomori for either of your considerations.
He's pretty good. I don't know if he's one of those players who... Because you expect a certain standard from him, you almost take him for granted in the end. Of course, consistently excellent for Milan.
I went for Loftus-Cheek because one of my things is that I'm always kind of intrigued by like the footballing, like a fixer-upper, like the footballing equivalent of like Holmes under the hammer, like the players who where you just need Dion Dublin to get in there and sort of examine the stairs going all the way up to the bedroom and just sort of see players who clearly have something. But for some reason can't quite make it happen. Those cases are really intriguing to me. So with Loftus-Cheek, you have a player who for years was like that, who seems to have found a great space for himself at Milan and is playing really well. So that's why I want to flag that up. Tomori, of course, is very good as well.
Dion Dublin, the fixer-upper.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, this one's for me, I think. Lewis has emailed us to say, apart from having an attractive and calming voice, did you both get that?
Hey, is that just for you? I'll have you know, I've been told by more than one person that the audiobook version of my book has put them to sleep. Which I can only mean...
This is definitely for you in that case.
Can only mean that the voice is very calming.
And the second part of the sentence is, what else is required to be a host on OTC? Go on then. Go on then, Lars.
I don't know. What else is required to... Well, listen, I don't think I could host anything. It'd be too chaotic. And also, yeah, no one could do what you do, Dawson. It was the host part of it that threw me. I thought guest was the host. Yeah, no, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, Dawson, it's the Scandinavians that are meant to do the fishing.
He's done it well. Anyway, his real question, Lewis's real question. Thank you for that, Lewis. But one of these days...
Oh, yeah, you dropped it half an octave there, yeah.
You see, he's a pro. He knows.
Thank
exactly.
you for that, Lewis.
Anyway,
you, Lewis.
My real question, says Lewis, is if you were all wealthy investors, what rising teams would you see yourselves trying to take over and reach the pinnacle of European football? So not quite a Hollywood-esque, but nevertheless. Andy?
Well, I guess the obvious choice for me would be Lyon. Because if I was going to pick a club, I would...
That's your club.
Pick a, well, not for that reason. I would pick a club that's got a really consistent youth academy, that produces players over and over again, that's got a really well-functioning youth academy already. Because I think that's always something, regardless of the current sporting battle of the team, that you can build on. And if you can produce players, obviously you can produce income, because you get those players into the first team, there's a clear pathway for Lyon over two decades, and you will always have a way to generate funds for the team, as well as having a team that's vibrant, athletic, all those sort of things. So, you know, we've seen the sales in the past of Lacazette, Umtiti, Tolisso, Ben Arfa, Benzema, etc., etc., etc. And then you look at the next generation. You know, they sold Lukeba and Barkala this summer. Maxence Kakere could follow in the future. So I think that is something that you could build on. And I think with a slightly more sensible signing policy, you could get yourself a model that fills the stadium, that qualifies for the Champions League consistently, because there is this sort of vacuum behind PSG, which is a money spinner. Am I just talking about making money here? Anyway, and I think that you can have both sporting and financial success on a consistent basis by running it right. Of course, the real answer to Lewis's question is get a club in, say, Romania, put enough money in to make them, or if we're talking below state size levels of money, get them to qualify for the Champions League successfully year after, get them to win the league year after year after year, get them to get the Champions League money, and then you build yourself an absolutely unbreachable pedestal that no one else can ever touch.
He's thought about this one. He's thought about it in his dreams for years and years and years, Lars. Match that.
Well, it depends on how wealthy this hypothetical investor is. I think if you're on like proper oligarch, a multi-billionaire level, I would look at Valencia. I think Valencia is a club that, by their size and history, should be a serious force in Spanish football. And under the ownership of Peter Lim, they're not. And they're not going to be. Now, I'm sure this would... I'm sure the finances are not great. I'm sure there's a reason why Peter Lim hasn't been able to make anything more of this. But if you weren't worried about losing a ton of money, I think turning Valencia into a serious force would be a tremendous project. It would be a great city to live in, or at least to spend a lot of your time in. And a demanding fan base, as we all know. You could try to maybe revive the new Mestalla project. I mean, they have this absurd situation where they were going to build a new stadium. They only finished half of it, and then they ran out of money, and then the financial crisis happened. And so there is a half-finished new Mestalla somewhere in Valencia. This just doesn't look like it's going to get finished, whilst the old Valencia is still kind of atmospheric but stinky and old. There's just a lot of potential in that club that is untapped and looks like it's going to remain untapped. And if money was really no object at all, that would be an extraordinary project. If you're a bit more lower down the food chain, you're maybe
a fixer-upper.
Yeah, well, another fixer-upper. If you're still in Spain, if like me, you like dry white wine and good seafood, Deportivo La Coruña are averaging 20,000 people at their games in the third tier of Spanish football. They're still in the third tier. They look like they'll get promoted. They look like they'll get promoted this year, but they're getting 20,000 through the gates every week in the third tier. Living in Galicia, I'm sure, would be tremendous if you're a seafood enthusiast. And I don't think, maybe this is me being naive, I'm sure it'll take some money, but it's not going to take incredible amounts of money to build that club up to be a La Liga regular at the very least. I think that should be possible to do if you're someone who has a bit of know-how, surround yourself with smart people and could put some money in. And obviously the potential there is pretty big.
I think the point that we've both made there is it's not just about the money, is it? It's about a sustainable strategy.
I think the point that you've both made inadvertently is, if you're an investor, don't invest in the German model of 50% or 49%.
Well, you're not really, you can't really run the club there. You can't really go in and take over and run it the way you want to. So that obviously makes it less attractive. For me, it was also very food based, my recommendation. So, I mean, if you wanna buy like a club in Georgia, the food will be very good. But I think the sporting prospects are, you could buy Torpedo Kutaisi, who are currently managed by Steve Keane. I mean, that would be an interesting thing.
Are we going thirds on that then?
Not me.
He's made a recommendation.
My wife won't let me join in.
Just harvest then.
Your
just
foolishness. Harvest. And that's about it from us. Thank you for listening to Ask OTC. If you'd like to ask a question, you can contact us at any time at Radio Dotton, at Andy Brassel, at Lars Severston, or at OTC Pod. And you can email us, otc@footballramble.com.
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.